This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 2071. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all shortwave. On this edition recorded January 28th, Albania, Argentina, Australia, Bhutan, Brazil, Canada, Chile, China, Colombia, Cuba, Egypt, Finland, France, Germany, India, Korea South, Lithuania, North America, Peru, Russia, Spain, Sri Lanka, USA, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, Richard Lemke in Alberta and I have been hearing some more recent programs from Radio Tirana, Albania, relayed via WRMI. Instead of something from December, some shows actually from January, which might be heard at 2230 UT on 7780 and or at 23 UT on 5850, but not every day of the week. Claudio Galas in Chile reports a station from Argentina on 6935 AM, January 21st at midnight to midnight 30 UT. Playing music of the 80s in English and Spanish, and the ID he has is AD149, or AD149. He doesn't say so, but that would appear to be a pirate. Our World of Radio affiliate in Australia, Unique Radio in New South Wales, is still not ready to resume its own low-power shortwave broadcasts on 3210 or 5045, but they're still streaming, including World of Radio, four times a week via www.uniqueradio.biz. Times for us are Friday and Monday at 09 UT, Saturday at 07, and Sunday at 06. But now we have news from Aussie Tim Gaynor of Unique Radio that they are coming back to international shortwave, once again being relayed by WINB in Pennsylvania, Wobbly 9265. There are several broadcasts. The first one, however, is in DRM to Europe, starting February 1st, Mondays at 10 to 11 UT on 9265. Sounds of Hope and Inspiration, including instrumentals presented by Aussie Tim. And then Fridays, also at 10 to 11 UT on 9265, News and Review. Then in AM 9265 from February 5th, Fridays at 2100 to 2230 UT, with more Sounds of Hope and Inspiration. Also DJ Danny's Sunday interviews and some laid-back tunes. And News in Review, all during that sesqui hour. Finally, Saturdays at 13 to 14 UT on 9265, Sounds of Your Life Oldies or Aussie Tim's Generations. Via shortwave bulletin, Victor Gunatilika in Sri Lanka says about Bhutan, I keep observing it regularly, but sorry to say no signals in about 2 months on 6035. It's sad, but they're usually off shortwave in the winter, as 6 MHz is too high to propagate locally. I seldom hear much signal direct from the Brazilian on 11815, Radio Brasil Central, but using the remote receiver in São Paulo, I was hearing quite a good signal from this. January 22nd at 0253, in fact, it was splattering up and down. The distance between Goiânia and Pardinho is only 718 kilometers, so it may have been getting a late summer night sporadic E-boost. Another Brazilian I can barely hear direct, but enough to measure the frequency. Rádio Inconfidência in Belo Horizonte, 15190.046, heard at 2250 UT. On January 20th and 23rd after 07 UT, I was hearing a beacon on longwave 284 kHz, identifying as if it were from Russia. The first letter, dida-dida, which is the Cyrillic letter ya, not used in English, and the second letter s, or is it c, as in CCCP. Harold Froge in Michigan points out this is really the beacon in the Paw, Manitoba, whose real call sign is QD, nothing like the letters I have been hearing. It is being miskeyed. This is explained at classx.com. The first dash in each character replaced with a dot. That explains how it comes out, ya-s, instead of QD. But not always. In the past, I've actually heard it a day as QD. You might think there are no active shortwave stations in Chile. But Claudio Galas in Chile keeps reporting some on 5825 Radio Triunfal Evangelica. January 24th, signing on at 2200, heard until 2220 with greetings and, what else, Christian music. He also reports on 6925 AM, RCW, or Radio Compañía Worldwide, which we've reported before, such as January 20th at 2329 to midnight UT with rock music in Spanish and English, a very good signal for him, and on January 25th at 2316 with a football game between Universidad Católica and Palestino. What does the World Radio TV Handbook 2021 say about these? They do list 5825, Radio Triunfal Evangelica, as if it were a legal station. Do they know something we don't? They do not list, however, 6925 or any other frequency for RCW. As a rule, WRTH avoids listing pirates. You would never know there are any in Europe or North America. I tend to be suspicious of stations which may be operating quite openly but never have any call letters which would be issued by the government. Ivo Ivanov, observer in Bulgaria, reports more and more frequencies of China National Radio 1 in Chinese in the DRM mode, but all of these are unregistered in B20 HFCC, so where did he get the information? He was hearing the 06 to 08 UT broadcast on 13775 via remote in Novosibirsk, but the transmitter sites for all are unknown. They might also be at midnight to 03 on 12,000, 13650, and 13795. And the third broadcast, he was unable to hear any of these, but try at 08 to 10, 15670, 15735, 17855, or 17860. Since it was discovered in September, there's been few reports of the VOA Spanish relay on 600 kilohertz via Radio Libertad in Barranquilla, Colombia, to get into Venezuela. So I checked it again via the remote in Bonaire, January 27th, and was hearing it again before and after 01UT, with IDs as La Voz de America. There is interference from Radio Rebelde already on 600 from eastern Cuba, and there were initial reports that a Venezuelan medium wave transmitter was pressed into service to jam it, but I'm not hearing that, or at least not identifiably, and there's nothing further reported about that. But if it's getting into Bonaire, it's probably also getting into Caracas. Something's always wrong at Radio Cuba. January 26th at 0303, I was hearing China Radio International News in English on 11820, 20 over 9. That is, of course, the harmonic of 5910, which was even stronger at 40 to 50 over 9. Could it be receiver overload? Not in this case. I was also hearing it after 0400 in Cantonese via the remote in Missouri, also barreling in there at 20 over 9. If one multiple is radiating, so may be others, so if propagation should permit, unlikely, it might appear on 17730, 23640, or even 29550, perhaps with some sporadic help. But what a difference a day makes with degraded propagation 24 hours later. 11820 and the fundamental Cubans on 25 meters were just barely audible carriers. Mike Cooper forwards something from the Congressional Research Service report, Cuba, U.S. policy in the 116th Congress and through Trump administration, about radio and TV Marti, mostly reviewing what's gone on in the last few years, but this paragraph may be of interest. According to BBG's 2021 Congressional Budget Justification, the Martis reached 11% of Cubans on a weekly basis in 2017, with shortwave, medium wave, direct-to-home satellite, satellite radio, internet, social media, flash drives, and DVDs to help reach Cuban audiences. OCB administers a USAGM shortwave transmitting station in Greenville, North Carolina, which is being upgraded with refurbished transmitters that will lower cost and increase reliability. Last week, Ivo Ivanov, Bulgaria, reported the Mystery Egyptian Music Station for a few minutes on 9550, and here's another from him, January 26th at 0930 to 0940 on 9600, only playing music and preceded by a 1 kHz tone. Sad and belated news about one of our longtime contributors, Jari Savolainen in Finland. This came to us via Thomas Nielsen shortwave bulletin, in turn quoting something from RealDX by Jean Burnell on January 13th. Our longtime member, Jari Savolainen, passed away suddenly on 31 October at a cottage near Kouvola, Finland. He was born on 12 December 1951. And generous with his time and his exceptional ability to pick out DX was of great benefit. To many, it seemed that he could identify any language, even from clips with dreadful audio quality, allowing many of us to claim receptions we cherish as among our best. And paraphrasing some comments from the Finnish DX Association, he joined that club in 1966, so he was an active DXer for 54 years. His career was also in radio and communications, working for a long time as a marine radio electrician, traveling the world's oceans. His impaired eyesight forced him to retire in the early 1990s. A happy, life-affirming, and helpful person who would not let his deteriorating vision ruin his DX hobby. We're still hearing those DRM transmissions from France at 2330 UT on 5875. Chris Mackerel in New Zealand of World FM forwards a report from the Defense Department in France, which is in French, about developing high-frequency transmissions over long distances. But here's another explanation that Jean-Michel Aubier got from TDF to an inquiry forwarded from Wolfgang Büschel in translation. Since January 1st, we've been carrying out new DRM tests from Issoudun, initiated by TDF as part of our DRMcast project, a shortwave receiver we've developed on our own funds, which makes it possible to locally rebroadcast DRM content over Wi-Fi. Through this gateway-type interface, any smartphone or tablet-type receiver is thus capable of receiving sound, text, and images broadcast in DRM. The first tests were carried out on the Mini Transat race in 2019, a race report for boats crossing the Atlantic. We are not far enough advanced today to address Vendée Globe-type races, the current one, but the maritime world is a track that we are considering for DRM cast. For the time being, we have 4 30-minute slots with RFI World programs and some associated data. 13 to 1330 UT on 11735, which Chris says he's getting in New Zealand, 15 to 1530 on 9905, and also 1730 to 18 on the same, and 2330 to midnight UT on 5875. These slots are likely to change in the weeks to come. The tests are to continue our development. We are not communicating any further at the moment. Remember the extended special 10th anniversary broadcast of Channel 292 in Germany, February 1st, on all three frequencies. A wide variety of programming, but Uncle Bill Tilford reminds us that his two programs are included as follows. February 1st at 01 to 02 on 3955, 6070, and 9670, the latter beam toward South Asia. Repeated at 03 to 04 on the same, but this time 9670 toward Africa. That's from the Isle of Music and Uncle Bill's Melting Pot, in between at 02 to 03 on all three frequencies, again first toward South Asia, and at 04 to 05 with the last frequency rotated toward Africa. All India Radio was planning to resume part of its external service on shortwave January 26th, but Ivo Ivanov, checking the projected schedule, says he was not hearing any of them yet. Via International Vacuum, Internet, AM, FM, and shortwave, World of Radio 2071. A non-commercial service, as is our website, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for a generous check in U.S. dollars on a U.S. bank from Steve Zimmerman of West Allis, Wisconsin, sent to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK, 73702. One may also contribute via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO at yahoo.com. In RustDX, Anatoly Klepov reports about KBS World Radio, South Korea. They say you can fill out your own QSL online and print it, playing on their program Sunday Journal. I reply, although QSLs are hardly legal proof of reception, this do-it-yourself method makes them totally valueless. Anyone could fake them, unless station software automatically rejects anything with errors I doubt that. Everything depends on the integrity of the reporter. And now another sad note, departing another well-known name in the radio and DX world, which came to us via Alan Pennington in the British DX Club, about Remontis Plekis, P-L-E-Y-K-I-S. Christian Milling informs this sad news about this Lithuanian, a radio personality leaving the world way too soon, the founder of the first private radio in the times of the Soviet Union, Radio M1, and the founder and operator of medium wave 1386, Radio Baltic Waves. Remontis Plekis died at the age of just 64. He was also instrumental in the early 2000s that the Sitkanai station got a completely new shortwave infrastructure, a direct antenna built toward the USA. He was especially active in researching the Soviet jamming system and created a book and video about that called Empires of Noise. Look for that on YouTube. That came from the FV group of the Finnish DX Association. Alan Pennington adds, Remontis Plekis was born on November 25, 1957 in Vilnius. Graduated from Vilnius University with a degree in journalism. Later worked as a university lecturer. Founded the first independent radio station, M1, and later Radio Centras. And Dr. Hans-Jörg Biener tells us more about Remontis Plekis. It was during his tenure as member of the Lithuanian Parliament that he proposed a radio-free Belarus, modeled after radio-free Europe. Public response was unexpectedly negative because they did not want a deterioration of relations with their eastern neighbor. Under a new name, his project is still on the air on 1386 kHz, relays in Russian for RFERL and NHK World Radio Japan, and several languages for Polsky Radio. Remontis Plekis was also instrumental in saving the shortwave station at Sitkunai with a new 100 kilowatt shortwave transmitter and a new curtain array. But the new facility ended broadcasting in 2017. Central America's final shortwave station, the Radio Verdad Guatemala, still missing from 4055. I wonder if they've given up. But that frequency was occupied by a North American pirate. January 24th, before and after 0200, on USB, Wolverine Radio. I heard, concluding with slow scan television and also reported by Mark Taylor, Wisconsin, in the NASFA flash sheet. On that occasion, he just moved down from the 6.9 megahertz band, but where I still heard some other North American pirates this week, 6925 USB, January 23rd at 2305, reported elsewhere as Goat Cheese Radio, another of Zeke's stations. 6930 USB, January 25th at midnight 6, some dense, low music and a mushy, reduced carrier were reported in HF Underground as Mushroom Radio. On 6935 USB, January 22nd at 2157, rock music past 2200, ID at 2205 by as Radio Nova, went off at 2230 after some loon or other bird calls, and I got an UQSL within 5 minutes of posting my report to the groups. I continued to draw a blank, hearing the reactivated Peruvian in Cusco, Radio Tawantinsuyo, usually reported as 6174. But in case it helps, here's the exact frequency reported by Bob Wilkner in NASWA, 6173.83. Heard 22 January between 0230 and 0250. Anyhow, it's way off its nominal 6175. About Russia, here's a report from Nils Groman, ham call DO6AN in Hamburg, Germany. Tuning across medium wave, I detected a CW signal on 486 kHz, identified as RMP, that's Romeo Mike Papa, with a QTC, followed by a transmission. I checked on the internet and found that it's the Russian Navy's Baltic Fleet headquarters in Kaliningrad. I listened to the transmission and was surprised that much of it was in plain Russian text. No encoded messages, navigational warnings, weather forecasts, and wind predictions for certain areas of the Baltic Sea. Surprised to hear such transmissions of a non-amateur basis on this band, not an NDB either. It uses Morse code in the Cyrillic Russian alphabet. They seem to start about 17 UT and end around 2000. And Neil says there is another Russian Navy station, active and audible in CW, with QTCs. It's RCV in Sevastopol, the Black Sea Fleet headquarters, navigational warnings and weather forecasts during the daytime, which he also hears on 5916. David Cole and Mike Cooper forward a New York Times story of January 21st by Anton Troyanovsky. Russia pushes U.S.-funded news outlet toward exit. The government is threatening Radio Liberty with multi-million-dollar fines and possible criminal charges against its employees, raising possibility of the American-funded news organization being pushed out of Russia, just as President Biden seeks to reorient the U.S. relationship with the Kremlin. One of the biggest news outlets in Russia that does not toe the official line. It says the government has notified it of dozens of individual violations of newly restrictive requirements that it label all of its content as being produced by a foreign agent. Daisy Sindelar, editor-in-chief of RFERL in Prague, says, "This is the existential moment for us." Ken Zicke in Michigan and I listened to the Monday, January 25th English broadcast from Spain at 23 UT on 9690. It was all about recent events in the U.S. Allison Hughes first, narrating a report on the insurrection upon the Capitol, including her rather startling cynical remark, paraphrased but close, "Due to travel restrictions, the U.S. had to stage a domestic coup." Then over to Justin Coe for a report about the inauguration. He managed to find a Spanish angle, since the youth poet laureate Amanda Gorman had spent several months studying in Spain, especially about García Lorca. Via shortwave bulletin, Victor Gonatelica in Sri Lanka reports on the shortwave situation there. SLBC's only on the air from midnight 30 to midnight 58 on 11905 to India. One of the Trincomalee transmitters has a valve problem, so they need it from 0100 for AWR. 11750 SLBC at 1630 to 1730, some days until 1830, relays the City FM service in Sinhala to the Gulf and Italy for Sri Lankan workers. And he says he still handles QSLing if you need a hard copy via post. Lots of press about the shakeup at the U.S. AGM and VOA, thanks to the new Biden administration. The official word from a U.S. AGM press release January 21st via John Filiozzi. U.S. AGM CEO Michael Peck resigned after being informed by the Biden administration he would be removed. President Biden designated longtime journalist Kelu Chow as acting CEO and former president of Middle East Broadcasting Networks Brian Conniff as deputy director. Robert Riley has also been removed as VOA director, and Yolanda Lopez has been named acting director. Deputy VOA director Elizabeth Robbins was also relieved of her duties. Jeffrey Shapiro resigned from his position as director of the Office of Cuba Broadcasting. The incoming team is composed of long-standing veterans of U.S. international broadcasting. Kai Ludwig comments on this. In short, what happened? Riley and Robbins have been escorted out of the building. Acting VOA director Yolanda Lopez, the news chief that a few days ago had been demoted because a reporter had shouted questions at Pompeo. Brian Conniff is known for his attempt to prevent VOA from losing its Berlin FM slot to NPR. In other news, it has been announced that Radio Sawa Arabic is now an all-news format. The AP story points out that although Peck resigned immediately upon inauguration, the day before he had appointed new conservative members to the boards of Radio Free Asia, RFERL, and the Middle East Broadcasting Networks. That was on the 21st, and 2 days later, on the 23rd, Matthew Lee, AP, wrote, "Moorhead's role at U.S.-funded international broadcasters, the heads of three broadcasters were abruptly fired on Friday as the Biden administration completed a house cleaning of Donald Trump appointees at the U.S. Agency for Global Media. Ted Lipien, who briefly ran RFERL, was once a high-ranking VOA official and became a sharp critic of the agency. We wonder if he'll go back to running the blog U.S. AGM Watch. Stephen J. Yates, who led Radio Free Asia, was previously chairman of the Idaho Republican Party. Via Mike Cooper on January 24th, AP reports on the new leaders. Daisy Sindelar will be acting head of RFERL, replacing Lipien. Bei Fong will return to her post as RFA president, replacing Stephen Yates. Kelly Sullivan becomes acting Middle East Broadcasting Network's president, replacing Victoria Coates. And Mike Cooper also forwards an AFP story of January 25th. VOA and RFA are getting back experienced editors who were shoved aside by Donald Trump's appointees, as the outlets say they hope the tumult will not tarnish their credibility. Surprise, January 26th, WRMI back on 9455, which it had left several weeks ago, and 4980 has been missing, so apparently it's that transmitter with a frequency change, number 8. It's carrying a lot of the overkiller, and it may be on 24 hours. Initially, the programming on 9455 had been shifted to 5950, but that transmitter is still on the air, so it's got to be a different one. If it's the same one as 4980 and on the same antenna, it would be 285 degrees. In the Michigan ARE tip sheet, Michael Hanlon in Ypsilanti reports hearing WRMI on 31540 kHz via a scanner. Yes, that's the second harmonic of 15.77. He says he has a scanner dedicated to the low-band VHF with preamp, and they were booming in with IDs and faded right in and out like classic skip on good old 11 meters. That was perhaps sporadic E-skip. In fact, this was on January 19th at 21:31. Ben Cobb, who follows FCC info carefully, reports on January 27th, it would appear that WWRB wants back into shortwave broadcasting. The parent company of this presently unlicensed station filed an application for a construction permit with the FCC. Unlicensed, WWRB. Did Dave France overlook renewing his license? As Ben points out, its website describes WRB now as an internet station. And as a matter of fact, the last time I logged it was November 28th. They had been active only for a few hours each week, Saturdays and Sundays into UT Sundays and Mondays on 3215 and switching to 3185 at 0200 when WWCR takes over 3215. Dr. Hans-Jürg Biener says the station nobody missed. He last logged it on 5050 during the previous season on October 18th. Meanwhile, guess what? 3185 was occupied by a pirate, reported by Mark Taylor, Wisconsin, in the NASA flash sheet. It was Sicko Radio, S-Y-C-K-O, we assume it's spelled, January 24th at 0315 with instrumental music and random instruments and singing. He says Sicko explained it was the asylum inmates all playing their instruments at once. Les Rayburn of the Courtesy Program Committee reports that a graveyard station near the Pacific Coast, KCUP 1230 in Toledo, Oregon, will be carrying out an 8-hour DX test early Sunday morning, January 31st, between 06 and 14 UT. DXing on graveyards is always quite a challenge, but they'll be doing special types of sounds which may make it stand out. Some X-band news in Greater Phoenix, Arizona. Rick Barton says he was listening to KFOX California on 1650. At 18 UT, January 25th, Radio Seoul, in Korean, when he got interference from a new local information station for the COVID vaccine site at State Farm Stadium, a few miles down the road. As we reported last week, more and more such outlets may be popping up in connection with vaccinations. In the Michigan ARE tip sheet, an item from RadioInsight.com, that Beasley Media turned off 1660 WBCN Charlotte, North Carolina, on December 31st, following sale of the station's tower site to a real estate developer. The propagation outlook from SWPC Boulder, geomagnetic field reaching unsettled levels on February 1st, 2nd, 7th, and 8th, with A and K indices peaking at 10 and 3. Solar flux creeping up slightly from 75 to 77 by February 11th. And that concludes World of Radio number 2071. Glenn Hauser, hoping you found it informative and will make a point of hearing me again next week, ending with a standard disclaimer.